Now, to get what I'm saying, I'll need your mind this morning. I'll need your very careful fellowship if you get what I'm saying. Let me first, before I say it, tell you what that word underneath means. Doesn't mean underneath you. It means underneath anything that's down as far as it can go. It means underneath that which is underneath of the everlasting arms. Now then, I'm a biography reader. I read every biography of every great man I can get my hands on. I've done it for years. I read two biographies this week, and at least most of them. And I read every biography I can get my hands on. Years ago when I started doing that, I was about 21 years of age, and I just started reading biographies. Somebody asked me, said, "Brother Hiles, if you keep reading those biographies, you're going to spend your life looking to the past." "Oh, no," I said. "That's the way you look to the future, is by reading biographies." Now, listen to these words. The eternal God is thy dwelling place. Now, I'm going to take out and just sort of shine the spotlight upon that little word, eternal. The eternal God is thy dwelling place or refuge. Now, the understanding of this truth could just about guarantee everybody's future success. I mean that. You're going to see it in a minute. I guarantee you that if you and I and the whole world would understand one little line, just this one first part, the eternal God is thy refuge, or thy dwelling place. The eternal God is thy refuge. Now, if you understand that, and the truth I'm going to give you this morning from that, it just about, if not totally, could guarantee the success. I'm talking about success in business. I'm talking about success in rearing children. I'm talking about success in a football team. I'm talking about any kind of success. That one little line, eternal God, is thy refuge. Now, hear me carefully. The word eternal there is not a word that's talking about here on. It's talking about here back. Now, the word everlasting, a little later on, is talking about from here back and here on. But that word eternal, the eternal God, is thy resting place, or thy dwelling place, or thy refuge. The word eternal there is talking about the God from here back is our refuge. Now, hear me carefully. Tomorrow, and this is going to shock you, tomorrow is not in front of us. Tomorrow is behind us. You say, "Preacher, it's finally happened. I thought for years it happened. It finally happened. You've lost your marbles." I never had many marbles to lose in the first place. But I'm really sane. So listen carefully while I am. Tomorrow is not in front of us. Tomorrow is behind us. Now listen to this. Yesterday is not behind us. Yesterday is in front of us. You say, "Explain that." I can't. We're all in trouble. But I'll try. Now follow me carefully. Listen carefully. Everybody, listen. Here's a great procession. A parade. A marching army. Now, you're marching. Okay, as you're marching, who's in front of you? Those that went before. Right? Those who are in front of you are those who've already passed where you are. That's what this means here. We're marching. Now, tomorrow is behind us. See? Yesterday is in front of us. You follow me? All right, now hear me again. Here's an army, our great procession. And we're moving forward. Now, those who come tomorrow are behind us. And those who were here yesterday are in front of us. So the way you go forward is by looking at yesterday. When Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind us and pressing forward, he's saying, forget tomorrow. For young people are tomorrow. Older people are yesterday. And we look forward to the older people who've already been here. As we go forward, we're looking smack dab at yesterday, and we're forgetting tomorrow. So the Apostle Paul is saying, he's saying, forgetting tomorrow and pressing forward toward yesterday. I hope you follow me now. If you do, you're going to get a truth that'll change your life. If you are going forward, your eyes are fastened on the past, because here's a certain place in a parade. And here we are marching by. Okay, come here. All you guys on the field. That facing that way behind each other. Here we go now. All right? Now, you ladies right here, we're passing you. All right? Now, you keep on walking, fella. Just start walking. All right? Now stop right there. Now, I am where, I'm here where they were. They've already passed. Now, the future of this spot is behind me. But the past of this spot is in front of me, and if I keep going forward, I'm looking at the past and not the future. Thank you, fellas. And that's what it says. The eternal God, the God of the past, is in front of you. I mean, the God who's seen everything you've seen, been everywhere you've been, heard everything you heard, knows everything there is to know. He has already been this way, and you follow him, you keep your eyes on the God of yesterday, because the God of yesterday is your tomorrow. You see, tomorrow has not run the race yet. You cannot learn anything from the fella who runs the race tomorrow. But you can learn a lot if you keep your eyes on the fella who's run the race yesterday. So to go forward, you look at yesterday. Then go backward, you look at tomorrow. And the fella is like this, running the race like this, looking backward to what's coming tomorrow. He'll lose the race. But if he forgets those things, which are about, forget tomorrow, and presses forward toward yesterday, and those who ran the race yesterday, then he will win the race. You see, okay, look, two men are playing golf. You golfers know this. Two men are playing golf. Here's a fellow, and he's putting. And another fellow's ball is about where his is. It's a long putt. It has to curve a little bit. It's a long putt. Are you listening? It's a long putt. So the first fellow lines up, and another fellow's behind him here, his ball behind him. And the first fellow puts, and he goes a little bit to the right. They call that going to what? Say, golfers, going to what? School. Going to school on the fellow who putted before you. So if you watch how the fellow putted yesterday, then you'll know how to putt today. But the fellow who puts tomorrow can't help you to putt today. And the fella who hasn't run the race yet cannot help you to run your race. Listen, that's what Jeroboam did. Jeroboam was king. And so he had some counsel, need some advice. And so he sought the counsel of the old people, the old men. And they gave him a certain counsel. Then he sought the counsel of the young men. And they gave him a certain counsel. Now, when he sought the counsel of the old men, he was looking forward to the past. You see what I'm saying? Right, he was looking forward to the past. When he sought counsel of the young men, he was looking backward to the future. And the fellows who were behind him had never been on that road before. They had never traveled that path. They had never run that race. And the fellows who had been there said, this is the way to go, follow us. And he looked toward the past, and as he went forward, and then looked toward the future, as he looked backward, and he took the advice of the future, and not the past. And he kept his eyes on the future, and not the past. And because he kept his eyes on the future, and not the past, he took the advice of the young man. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm saying the eternal God, the God who's already been here, is our refuge. The God of the past is our refuge. The God whose experience is our refuge. The God who's been this way is our refuge. The God who knows the trail is our refuge. I'm a little tired of people saying, well, this is our generation, and we have to make our generation. You're a fool. Any generation that does not keep its eyes on the previous generation is an ignorant generation. Any generation that does not keep its eyes on the past generation, the one who's already gone beyond, is an unwise generation and will be a failing generation. Young people, by the way, I'm talking to anybody, I don't care how old you are, keep your eyes on the past. And in keeping your eyes on the past, you're going forward. And you're not going forward if you keep your eyes on the future. Because the future of this place right here in the great procession, the future of this place is behind me. And the past of this place is in front of me. And if I want to go forward, I've got to go forward learning by keeping my eyes on the past. Rehoboam said, I'll live in the past by looking to the future. He should have said, I'll live in the future by looking to the past. And that means we run with our eyes on yesterday. Look, folks, we see where they stumble if we look to the future, to yesterday. We see where they stumble, so we will not stumble. One of the saddest things in this world is that it seems like young people have to stumble because they haven't looked toward the past enough to go forward, and they get the same hurdle and stumble over it, get the same ditch and fall in it. Why? Because they're not willing to admit that those who've run the race have made some mistakes we don't have to make. But you're not going to avoid those mistakes and avoid those pitfalls until you keep going forward toward the past. We see where they stumble and avoid their pitfalls. We see their failures and find why. We see those who were successful and follow their beaten path. We found how they succeeded. You can't look at the future and find how they succeeded. They haven't succeeded yet. Haven't been here yet. You look at the past. And as you look at the past and you see how this fellow made it, and you say, using that same formula, I can make it, I'll go forward toward the past. Or you see how this fellow stumbled and fell and how he blew it. And you say, I'll look at the past, and by looking at the past, I'll go forward and I'll avoid his pitfall. I'll jump over his ditch. I'll go around his hurdle. I'll not face his enemy. I'll learn by looking at the past. Listen, that's what they do in everything in the world except life. You know why we have better cars now than we had 25 years ago? Because the car industry is going forward toward the past. They watch the past, see what they did, and they build on the past. That's what you do in sports. That's what you do in football, fellas. Somebody comes out years ago, they never heard of the what do they call it? You used to call it a short punt formation. What do they call it now when the quarterback's back about 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage? Shotgun. Yeah, shotgun. Shotgun formation. A fellow named Red Hickey out in San Francisco 49ers started that thing, or at least he made it famous years ago, and nobody had it then. Those days they had the T formation with the three running backs and the quarterback out of the center, and he got that shotgun formation and spread formation and spread those linemen and found that you could make, and now everybody uses a shotgun. A fellow's a fool to say, I'll not use what they learned before me. He won't be a successful coach. This Tom Landry is an innovator. But what Tom Landry has thought of, every coach in football has it now. Why? Looking forward toward the past. And yet, If football coaches have enough sense to look forward toward the past and avoid the pitfalls of those who fail and use and find the formula of those who succeed, and if science looks forward toward the past, and if automobile industry looks forward toward the past, and it looks like to me God's people ought to have enough sense to realize the way to succeed is you look forward to those that just ran where you are and see how they did. Oh, in God's dear name, young folks, you could avoid so much heartache. You don't realize what you could avoid if you just look forward toward the past and find out where those have stumbled who went before you and where those have succeeded who went before you. Tomorrow cannot help you make today's decisions. It hasn't faced them yet. Did you hear me? Any young person can find another young person from whom he can seek counsel. So he can say, I sought counsel, but you sought counsel from somebody who's in the future and not in the past. And when you turned around, listen, I'm marching on life's pathway here. And as I march on life's pathway, my eyes are on those in the past. If I need some counsel, and I turn around and say, I'd like to ask the future to give me counsel, I'm walking not seeing. I cannot walk as fast. I cannot see where I'm going. I'll come near stumbling because my eyes are on the future. But if I say, my eyes are on the past, and my future is by looking at the past, and I say to those, hey, you were here. What did you find out? Any bridge out? Any ditch? Any snakes in this area? Any wild animals in this area? Pitfalls here? Did you make it okay? How did you make it? Okay, tell me now. Tell me exactly how you made it. Let me write it down now. I want to find out exactly how you made it. Or if you got in trouble and didn't make it, or stumbled and fell, where did you stumble? Where did you fall? What happened to you? That's the kind of guy who succeeds. And in God's name, why do we have to be so self-conceited and self-assured? We haven't got enough sense to look toward the future and go toward the future by looking at the past. The eternal God is our refuge. Why? Because he's the God of tomorrow? No, sir. He's the God who came through yesterday. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. How did he find it out? He was here yesterday. If I'm going to make it through today, I've got to keep my eyes forward looking toward the past. But if I decide to turn around, look at the future, that fellow back there in the future, he does not know tomorrow. He has not seen tomorrow. He does not know the wilderness. He's not been through the wilderness. But brother, anybody who has a path to tread, who does not keep his eyes toward the past, will stumble and fall, and eventually he'll be the one others ought to look to say, I stumbled, don't do what I did. But you don't have to stumble. You don't have to stumble. The eternal God is thy refuge. The God of the past is thy refuge. The God who was already here is thy refuge. I can know how I ought to preach. As I march forward, looking at Moody and Sunday and Spurgeon and John Rice and Bob Jones and Sam Jones and R.A. Torrey and the great preachers of the past, I march toward them. And as I march forward, I look at the past. But if I look at the future, I turn around and I stumble and I fall. Oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this sermon could transform your life. This truth could transform your life if you'd realize the thing that keeps you from marching forward toward the past is your own pride. You want to do it yourself. You don't want any help. You're conceited and you're proud. And you want to look at God and say, God, I know you came before, but I know what's best. Tell me, young people, what you do. Don't ask them. They've not been there yet. You ask somebody right beside you what he should do. He doesn't know what you should do because he's where you are. You ask somebody that's in the past. You're marching forward, looking at the past. I say it again. If you go through life looking at the future, you'll go backward and stumble. If you go through life looking at the past, you'll succeed and not fall. If I'm a success, and I do not know if I am or to what degree I am, but if I'm a success, I won't tell you what happiness is. When I was 21 years old, I was pastoring a Baptist church. I knew about as much about pastoring a Baptist church as I do right now how to grow hair. I knew nothing about pastoring a Baptist church. But I was pastor, isn't he? I was pastor of one. I didn't have much sense, but thank God I had this much sense. I had enough sense to know if I was going to learn how to pastor a Baptist church and be a Baptist preacher and be successful, I was going to march forward looking at the past. I did 4 or 5 things. I only had men twice my age or older preach for me. Did you hear me? I only had men for revivals who were twice my age or older. I had my pastor preach for me. My pastor was 2.5 times older than I was, or more. I had my pastor's pastor preach. I was 21. He was 88. Had him preach for me. Bam! I wanted to go forward, but looking at the past. I had Dr. George Schaefer, whom I just mentioned, the sophomore. I just mentioned him. Had Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preach for me. Dr. Charles Weigel. Dr. John Rice. I could have had young fellows my own age preach to me, but that's the future. I could not succeed unless I look forward, following those in the past who'd already been where I am and marching forward, onward, upward, forward, onward, upward. How? Looking toward the past. Number 2, I was privileged for all those years to walk with him. I shared the platform and pulpit with those men. And by the way, I watched how they walked. I watched how they sat. I watched how their voices fluctuated. I studied them. I took enough notes to fill a file cabinet on watching those older men. Why? Because those men had been successful, and I was marching after them, and my future is their past, and I must learn how they walked the road and how they traveled the path. Number 3. I went out every Thursday afternoon to an old 90-year-old man's house. He was bedridden, named Gustave Norling. Many years was a missionary. He's now back home. He was then. I was a kid preacher, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 years old. Every Thursday afternoon, I went out east of Marshall, Texas, and went to Gustave Norling's house out on the Shreveport Highway, Highway 80. And I sat there with a few other fellows. And that 90-year-old preacher, we just said, please talk. And he laid there on his back, a dying man, and taught. What was I doing? I was looking forward to the past. I remember one day, I walked out, went out there, and I said, Dr. Norling, I'm quitting college. He said, why? And I said, this college is not as near Christian college as it ought to be. Some of our faculty members believe in nudity. We've got on the campus, we just had a guest group in that sang a song entitled Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. And I said, Dr. Norling, I'm not going to stay there. I'm quitting college. Listening. He looked at me and he said, Mr. Hiles, you're right. There's not one complete, well-rounded Christian on the faculty of your college. And he said, I do not want you to be like any of them when you grow up. But he said, Mr. Hiles, every member of that faculty knows a subject better than you know it. And he said, you stay there and you learn all each knows in his own subject. And then you can graduate knowing what all of them know. And you can get from those men who are not well-rounded a well-rounded education. And you can be a well-rounded, complete man. Well, I'm not very smart, but that made sense to me. We had one fellow that knew English and history like nobody I ever saw in my life. He was the most brilliant man I ever saw. You can believe all he knew. But the crazy fool, he was so dumb, it's pitiful. We have seen him after school, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I've seen the guy myself trying to find his house. He didn't know how to get home. He knew Beowulf and Lady of the Lake and Men of the Pond. He knew all of it. He knew all of it. History. What a man. Except he was an absent-minded professor. And I've taken him by the hand and led him home in the afternoon. You know, Doc, like they do you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would not have a degree from college today had I not looked forward to the past. You can say if you want to, I'll break out. I'll make my own way. I'll turn my own path. I'll go my own way. What you're doing is you're turning around and looking at the future and trying to go forward. Look at the future, but you're going to stumble and fall and fail. In God's name, look forward to the past. That's the way you succeed. Find how they failed. Find where they stumbled. Find where they succeeded. Do what they did to succeed. Don't do what they did to fail. Number four, biographies. Biographies. I read them, and I still do. I read them. I read just a few days ago Dr. Bob Jones Sr.'s biography again. Read it again. I read them and reread them. I guess I read the life of Charles G. Finney 25 times. This week I read the life of one book on the life of Charles Spurgeon. Boy, I tell you, that stunned me. I was reminded again that Spurgeon died when he was 57 and a half. He was dead already before the age I am now. And I got on my knees after looking forward to the past, and I said, "Dear God, I don't have much time I've got left." But I said, "Mr. Spurgeon did not have as much time as I've had. I've got to get busy again. I've got to stay busy. I've got to go forward." Why? Because I kept looking forward toward the past. As I reread Mr. Spurgeon's life again. I reread Mr. Spurgeon's life. Yeah, I reread it again. I'd reread it before. Number one, if I'm a success, here's why. I had older men preach for me when I was young. I was privileged to walk with older men as I preached through the years. Gustave Norling, that old 90-year-old preacher. Biographies. Number five, my mama. My mama. I never said, "Boy, she's out of date. She's the past generation." Well, I've got news for you. The past generation walked over the same path you're walking over now. And you can go ahead and say to yourself, "I'll make my own way." But listen, and you may succeed, but I'll guarantee you this. You'll have 10,000 better chance to succeed if you will look forward toward the past. And if you realize that, boy, listen, your mama's not out of date either. No, she's not. And your daddy's not an old fogey either. He's been where you are. And you, as you march toward eternity and toward the glory land, you're going forward. But the past is in front of you and the future's in back of you. Keep looking forward toward the past. Now, I tell you something. That's why God placed in the Bible the faults of the great men as well as the merits. Did you ever wonder why that God allowed in the life of the man after his own heart the story of Bathsheba and Uriah? Did you ever wonder why God allowed in the Bible, put in the Bible, concerning the friend of God, Abraham, the story of his going down to Egypt and meeting Hagar? Did you ever wonder why God put in the Bible Moses losing his temper? Meekest man ever, losing his temper, smiting the rock twice, numbering the folks of war, losing his ticket to the prophets of the Holy Land. Do you ever wonder why? I'll tell you why. Because God wanted us, now listen carefully, as we look forward toward the past, God wanted to show us not only how those men succeeded, but how they failed. And God wanted to let us know reality. And so God did not whitewash those men. And by the way, those men have, many of them have reputations and spots on their reputations in history they never have had. But God in His mercy said, "I've got to do it. I want those who come forward who are marching toward the past to know pitfalls as well as a success." Tomorrow cannot help you make today's decision. Tomorrow is behind you. Yesterday is in front of you. Don't look back to tomorrow. Look forward to yesterday. It is your tomorrow. If you do, You'll never take a drink, because you'll find what drink has done to those who are ahead of you. If you do, you'll never take narcotics, because looking forward toward yesterday, you'll find out what those people did that took it and how they turned out. If you do, you'll never be immoral. You'll be clean and pure. Why? Because you'll find out what happened to those yesterday who are in front of you as you march forward. If you do, you'll live in the will of God, because you'll find as you walk, as you look forward toward yesterday, you'll find that those who are the happiest, most successful, most fulfilling are those who live not according to their own desire, their own wants, their own wishes, but God's will. You get that by looking forward to yesterday. If you do, you'll stay clean and pure. If you do, you'll trust Jesus as your Savior. You'll find the heartache that came to those who yesterday were where you are, who did not trust Him. And as you keep marching forward toward yesterday, with your eyes on those that once were here, not looking back to tomorrow, it says, forgetting those things behind you, forgetting tomorrow, but looking toward yesterday, you press forward to the high calling of the mark of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Keep looking forward to the past. Watch it carefully. Learn from its mistakes. Avoid those places where it stumbled. And walk in the ways where it succeeded. I'm here this morning behind this pulpit because I look forward to yesterday. I kept my eyes on my mama and my daddy. When I was 5 years old, my daddy set me on a bar in a tavern and gave me whiskey to drink and begged me to drink it. I never touched it. He begged me to drink it. I went home. My mama told me how wicked it was to drink. My daddy took me to a tavern. My mama took me to church. My daddy laughed at the Bible. Mama said it's the Word of God. My daddy said the preacher's a money grabber. My mama said he's God's man. My daddy said, church is foolish. My mama said, let's go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now watch me carefully. If I'd looked backward to tomorrow, I'd have seen a bunch of young people having fun. You listening? I'd have seen a beautiful lady with a wine glass or a handsome young man smoking pot or happy young people enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Hear me now. But that's looking to tomorrow. They haven't gotten to the payday yet. I look to the future, to the past by looking as I marched forward toward the past. I looked at my daddy and I saw his life and I saw his misery and saw his unhappiness. I looked forward to yesterday, to the past, and saw my mama. I saw her singing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. I watched her, she sat and sang, brighten the corner where you are, brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from Harper you may guide across the bar, brighten the corner where you are. And I saw her. And I saw my daddy. I didn't turn to my sister and say, what you do, cause my sister's tomorrow. I didn't turn to my friends at school in the army when I was a paratrooper and say, what you do, cause that's tomorrow. I kept my eyes on yesterday. And brother, you keep your eyes on yesterday as you march forward to life, and I'll guarantee you, you'll live for God, you'll avoid the pitfalls, and you'll find yourself someday the happiest success you could have ever possibly have been. Why? Because the eternal God is our refuge. He was here. He's been here. He's traveled this way, and He's led others along this way. And if you keep your eyes toward the marching and looking forward to yesterday, you can sing what the brother sang. My Lord knows the way. Sing it. Through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow my Lord. He knows you because he's been here. All I have to do is follow strength for today. He's here. Mine. He's moved on, but he was here. And so have the saints of God who marched before. They were here. And they knew the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. 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 Always looking forward to the past. Father, bless the sermon.